Misachas Kriyas Perik Vav Mishnah Tes and from Misachas Meila Perik Aleph Mishnah Gimel. Rabbi Shimon says Kvosim Kovin Lo Izim. Sheep are always mentioned before goats b'chol mokaim in any place that the Torah discusses the bringing of these animals as karbonis. There are many karbonis such as a karbon chatos that can either be bought from a female sheep or a female goat. And in the vast majority of times, the Torah always mentions the sheep before the goat. So Yochel b'pnei shein mubchar mehen, I could have thought that the reason is because it's considered to be preferable to bring the sheep rather than a goat. That's considered to be a better way of bringing the korban. Talmud Lomar, that's what the pasuk comes to teach when it says in a particular pasuk, v'im kevis yovi korban elachatos, if he will bring as his korban chatos, he'll bring a sheep. And this pasuk comes a couple of pasukim after the Torah mentioned specifically a goat. Meaning, there's a particular scenario where the Torah does put the goat before the sheep. And this shows us that all of the other times that the Torah put the sheep before the goat, it's not in order to tell us that that's preferable. The Torah just wants to keep that same pattern by using the same order in all of the pasukim. But it has this one pasuk which switches the order in order to show that there is no particular order in preferability of which one to bring as a korban. So melamed tishneim shkulim, this teaches us that both of them are equal. Similarly, toyin koymen levnei yoyna b'chol makayim. Toyin always mentioned before b'nei yoyna whenever the Torah talks about these two korbanos. These are two different types of doves which can be bought as korbanos. So once again, Yochel b'pnei shein v'chor mehen, I could have thought that the reason is because the Torin are considered to be more preferable and a better korban than the b'nei yoyna. Talmud Lomar, but the pasuk teaches us otherwise, and it says v'ben yoyna yisrael chatos, if one will bring a ben yoyna or a tar as a korban chatos. So we see that in this case, the Torah switched the order around, melamed that teaches us sheshneim shekulin, that both of them are considered equal, and neither is considered to be a better korban than the other. On a similar note, although this is not related to korbanos, the Mishnah tells us that ha'av kodem lo'ein b'chol makom. The father, the honor of one's father, comes before the mention of the honor of one's mother in every place. Whenever the Torah talks about the command to honor one's parents, it always puts the father in front of the mother. Yochel shel kvedo av edval kvedo aim. So one could have thought that that's because the honor which one has to show his father is more and greater than the honor which he has to show his mother, Talmud Lomar. But the pasuk teaches otherwise when it says, Ish imev olev tiro'u, a man should fear his mother and his father. So we see that in this case, the mother is mentioned before the father, melam shem shkulim, so it teaches us that they are both equal and one needs to honor both of them equally. That having been said, aval omu chachomim, but the chachomim did say that ho'av kodem l'ein b'chol makom, the father does have precedence over the mother in every place. In any case where there's a contradiction between the two, if, for example, they both ask for a cup of water, then one would need to bring the cup of water to his father first, because both he and his mother are both obligated to honor his father. Part of the responsibility and obligation of a woman when she gets married is that she shows a certain level of respect and honor to her husband. And therefore, on a practical level, if one is faced with a choice of honoring his father or his mother, which one should come first, is honoring his father should come first, because even his mother is obligated in that honor. Although in terms of his own obligation as a child to honor both of his parents, this would be totally equal towards both his mother and his father. Similarly, with regards to learning Torah, im zocha habein lefnei harav, if the son merited to learn from his teacher of Torah, and the majority of his Torah knowledge comes from this particular teacher, this particular Rebbe, then kodemus av b'chol mokom, the honor which he needs to show towards his Rebbe, his teacher, takes precedence over the honor towards his father, although he's obligated to honor both of them. If he has a choice of one which will take precedence over the other, he has to honor his Rebbe first, for the same reason, in Yeshua al-Chayr Mechved Rabbi, because both he and his father are obligated to honor this Rebbe, because the Rebbe is a Talmud Chacham. Assumedly, he knows a lot of Torah, and therefore he needs to be honored by everybody. So essentially, even his father needs to honor this Talmud Chacham, and as such, the son should honor his Rebbe, his teacher of Torah, first. Solik Maseches Krisus, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. We begin with Maseches Me'ilah. Me'ilah is when somebody benefits from something which has been designated either as a korban or for another purpose in the Beis HaMikdash. and that item has holiness and it cannot be used for one's own benefit, if he does benefit from it himself, then that is a violation of Me'ilah, and the punishment for doing so is firstly to bring a korban osham, this is known as an asham me'ilois, to atone for his sin, and as well as that, he's obligated to pay the Beis HaMikdash the value of the item from which he benefited, plus a chomesh. A chomesh literally means a fifth, although it actually refers to a quarter. The reason why it's called a chomesh is because it's a quarter is essentially a fifth of the total amount once you add on the quarter. A quarter is a quarter of one, but one plus a quarter is really five times that quarter. So the quarter in the Mishnah is known as a chomesh, which represents a fifth of the total amount of one and a quarter. From this point onwards, we'll just refer to it as a chomesh being a fifth, even though in reality it refers to a quarter. It happens to be there's also an additional way to violate Me'ilah, and that is instead of necessarily benefiting from the item, if somebody takes it out of the domain of the Beis HaMikdash by bringing it into his own domain, that is also a way of violating Me'ilah, and that will be discussed later on in the Masechta. Now, it's important to recall, even though we've seen it multiple times throughout the Seder Kodshim, there are essentially two different types of hekdash. Hekdash refers to something which has been designated towards the Beis HaMikdash, and one type of hekdash is kedushas domim. This means that the actual item intrinsically is not holy, but only its value is considered to be holy. And this applies to items which are not themselves used as part of the service in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's rather for the sake of Berek HaBayis, which means the upkeep and maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash itself. And the vast majority of items which would be designated towards the Beis HaMikdash, if it's not, let's say, an animal or oil or wine which are used in the actual service of the Beis HaMikdash, other items would just gain Kedushas Domim, which means their value becomes holy. And in general, those items would be sold, and the money which is received by selling them would be used to buy that which the Beis HaMikdash needs for its maintenance. It could also be that the item happens to be something that the Beis HaMikdash can use itself for the maintenance, in which case it would be, but that still wouldn't be part of a service of the Beis HaMikdash, the service of bringing an offering and the like. So that's one type of hekdash. The second type is kedushas haguf, which is when the item itself is intrinsically holy and is going to be used itself as part of the service in the Beis HaMikdash, the most classic example being an animal which is going to be offered up as a korban. Now, within this second category of kedushas haguf, where the animal has intrinsic holiness, there are two types of korbanos. One is kodshe kodshim, which are korbanos which have a higher level of sanctity and holiness. And these korbanos are not given at all to the owners, for the one bringing the korban, for him to eat the meat. Rather, the entire animal becomes exclusively given towards Hashem as part of the offering. And although with the vast majority of kodshe kodshim, of these types of korbanos, the koyanim, who are serving in the Beis HaMikdash, can eat the meat of that animal, the Gemara explains that they are mishulchon gavoya kozochu, which means that they, so to speak, receive that meat from Hashem's table. So the owner himself has given over the entire animal, including the meat, over to Hashem, and all of it is part of the offering, and just that Hashem, so to speak, gives over part of the meat which he has received to the Kohanim for them to be able to partake in the eating of that korban. There are certain parts of the animal, of course, which are burnt on the Mizbeach, and that's known as the emurim. The emurim is the term which is used to refer to those parts of the korban which are burnt on the Mizbeach. This is all in the category of kodshe kodshim, which are korbanos which have a higher level of sanctity and holiness, and is considered, in terms of the owner at least, that he's given it over totally towards Hashem. The second type of korban, which has intrinsic holiness, is the category of kodshim kalim. Kodshim kalim means the korbanos which have a slightly lower degree of holiness, because with regards to these korbanos, they are not all totally, exclusively given over to Hashem, because much of the meat of that korban is actually going to be eaten by the owner, the one bringing the korban himself. And in terms of that meat, it's considered that he never really gave over that meat to Hashem. They're not, so to speak, eating from Hashem's table. So yeah, as I made, to summarize, there are two types of hekdash. Hekdash refers to something which is designated to the Beis HaMikdash. One type is kedushas domim, something which has only its value has holiness. but it itself is not going to be used as part of the service of the Beis HaMikdash. And then there are things like animals which have Kedushas HaGuf, they become intrinsically holy and are going to be used themselves as part of the service in the Beis HaMikdash. Within this category of things which have Kedushas HaGuf, intrinsic holiness, there are essentially two different categories of Karbanos. One are Kodshei Kodshim, which have a high degree of holiness because they've totally been given over to Hashem, and the lower level is Kodshim Kalim, where the owner who is bringing the Karban still retains part of the meat for himself and he's going to eat it. And that part wasn't really given over to Hashem. Now, any item which the owner retains some part of it, and it's not been given over totally towards Hashem, the punishments of Me'ila will not apply. Although it could very well be that it's forbidden to benefit from that item, but the regular punishments of having to bring a korban or paying the value plus a chomesh plus a fifth, that will not apply unless that item is totally being given over to Hashem, to the Beis HaMikdash. So with regards to Kedushas Domim, items which their value is the only part which has holiness, at the end of the day, that has been given totally to the Beis HaMikdash. The owner doesn't have any of it left for himself. It could be not all of it becomes holy, but all of it is given over to the Beis HaMikdash. If someone designated, let's say, any item to the Beis HaMikdash, he has to then give it to the Beis HaMikdash. He can't keep it for himself. So with regards to that type of hekdesh, me'ila will of course apply. However, with regards to the me'ila when it comes to karbonos, kodshim kalim, since the owner still retains the meat for himself, me'ila will not apply to that korban. When I say me'ila will not apply, I mean the punishments of me'ila, the fully fledged me'ila. That having been said, the parts of the korban which will be burnt on the mizbeach, so once you reach that stage where they are ready to be burnt on the Mizbeach, at that point Me'ila will apply, but specifically to those parts, the Emurim, the parts of the animal which are burnt on the Mizbeach. On the other hand, Kodshei Kodshim, the types of Korbanos which are totally given over to Hashem as the Korban, Me'ila will of course apply to them as soon as they have been designated as Korbanos. Now, that having been said, even with regards to the Kodshei Kodshim, for the vast majority of Kodshei Kodshim, Kohanim are able to eat the meat of those Korbanos. And we explained, it's considered as if they're eating from the table of Hashem, as if they received the meat from Hashem once it was all offered as an offering. But at the end of the day, that meat is given over to them. And therefore, as soon as that stage is reached where the meat becomes permitted for the Kohanim to eat, and that occurs once the entire procedure of the Korban has been completed, which is considered to be when the blood of the Korban is thrown onto the Mizbeach. That's considered to be the critical final part of the procedure of the korban. Once the blood of the korban has been thrown onto the mizbeach, that's the stage at which the meat of the korban becomes permitted for the kohanim to eat. Of course, this refers to the particular part of the meat which is not going to be burnt on the mizbeach. Now, as soon as part of the korban now becomes permitted for kohanim to eat, me'ila will no longer apply, because it's no longer totally Hashem's, so to speak. Hashem's now given over part of it to the kohanim. And therefore, if somebody benefits from that meat, once it becomes permitted for the Kohanim to eat it, he will not be liable to the punishments of Me'ila. However, the parts of the Korban which are still going to be burnt on the Mizbeach, the Emurim, those never become permitted for the Kohanim, and therefore Me'ila will still apply to the Emurim. The first Mishnah of the Masechta is going to bring a case, or a number of cases, where the meat never actually becomes permitted for the Kohanim to eat, because part of the procedure bringing the Korban was not done correctly. And because we never reached that point at which the meat became permitted for the Kohanim, so the Me'ila prohibition never was lifted. And the Me'ila will just continue, because we never reached that stage where the offering stopped being totally for Hashem and part of it given to the Kohanim. Kodshei Kodshim, these Karbanos which have been totally given over to Hashem and have a higher level of holiness, Sheshchotan Badoroim, which were slaughtered in the southern half of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. These korbanos really need to be slaughtered in the northern half. If they are slaughtered in the southern half, then the meat will never become permitted for the kohanim, because essentially the korban is actually considered to be invalidated. And this is part of what the Mishnah is coming to tell us, that even though the korban has become invalidated, it still has holiness. So me'ila will still apply, and since the kohanim never received the right to eat the meat, so even if somebody benefits from the meat, they'll be liable to the punishments of me'ila. Likewise, if Shechot Madarim, if he slaughtered the korban in the southern half, the Kibbledom Batsofain, and he received the blood which came out of the neck of the animal in a utensil, he received it in the northern half like he should have. Ubatzofain, if he slaughtered it in the northern half, like he should have, but Vekibel Domon Badarain, he received the blood in a utensil in the southern half. That already would invalidate the korban. Shchotan Bayom Vizor Balayla, if he slaughtered these animals, or such a korban, in the daytime like he should have, but he threw their blood onto the Mizbeach once the night time had already begun. That point is already too late to fulfill this part of the procedure. And therefore the korban would be invalidated, and the meat never became permitted for the Kohanim to eat, or Balayla, if he slaughtered it during the night time, which he should not have done, Vizor Balayim, and he threw the blood onto the Mizbeach at the daytime. Or if he slaughtered the animal with the intention of either burning part of the korban or eating part of the korban beyond the time limit which the Torah prescribes for doing so, that also invalidates the korban. Or if he slaughters it with the intention of burning or eating part of the korban in a different place to where the Torah prescribes, again, that would invalidate the korban, and therefore in all of these cases, Marlin Bohen, one who benefits from even the meat of the korban, would be liable to the punishments of Me'ilah. As Rabbi Yeshua now explains, Klal Omar Rabbi Yeshua said the following rule, Kol Shoyel Ashas Heter LaKoyanim, anything which reached a stage where it became permitted for Kohanim to eat the meat, a Marlin Bar, one would no longer violate Me'ilah and be liable to the punishments of Me'ilah, if he benefits from the meat, v'sheloi halashas ha'heter l'kohanim, but if it never reached a point where it became permitted for the kohanim to eat the meat, ma'alim bar, one would be liable to the punishments of me'ilah when he benefits from it. Ezer yishloi halashas ha'heter l'kohanim, what is an example of something which became invalidated, but after it already became permitted for kohanim to eat? Shelona, if the meat was left beyond the time limit for being able to eat it, v'shenitma, or if it became impure so it can no longer be eaten, v'sheyotza, or if the meat left the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, in all of these cases, it's now forbidden for the Kohanim to eat the meat. However, one would not be liable to Me'ilah, since the meat had already been given over to the Kohanim. Hashem had given over the meat to the Kohanim. Even if they are no longer able to eat it, it's no longer considered to be something which is totally given over to Hashem, and therefore Me'ilah would not apply. Eze yishalo elashas heta l'Kohanim. What are examples of when the korban became invalidated before the meat became permitted to Kohanim, and therefore Hashem never gave over any part of the korban to the Kohanim, so Me'ilah will still apply? One example is like the Mishnah earlier on said, Shenishchat Chutz Zmano, if it was slaughtered with the intention of burning or eating part of the korban beyond its time limit, or Chutz Limkoima, beyond its limit of the place, the location that the Torah prescribes for burning the korban or for eating it, if somebody who is invalid to perform the service of the in the service of the korban, if he was the one who received the blood, or he was the one to throw the blood onto the Mizbeach, these are all invalidations which occur before the meat becomes permitted for Kohanim, and therefore the meat never becomes permitted for the Kohanim. And in such cases, Me'ilah would still continue since it's considered to be something given over totally to Hashem. Mishnah Beis, Besar Kodshei Kodshim, the meat of these karbonis, which have a higher level of holiness because they're totally given over to Hashem, Sheyotzal if Nezrikas Domim, if the meat left the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, it was taken out before the blood of the korban was thrown onto the Mizbeach. By the meat leaving the courtyard, it becomes invalidated, meaning it cannot be eaten by the Kohanim. Now, the Kohanim become permitted to eat the meat of a korban when the blood of the korban is thrown onto the Mizbeach. In this case, the meat became invalidated and forbidden for the Kohanim to eat before that critical stage where the meat should become permitted for the Kohanim. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, Mo'alin boy, Me'ilah would still fully apply to somebody who benefits from the meat of that korban because it never reached the stage of becoming permitted for the Kohanim to eat. And likewise, since it's a korban which became invalidated before the blood of the korban was thrown onto the Mizbeach, meaning before the procedure of bringing the korban was completed, the other various prohibitions which apply specifically to consuming the meat of a korban will not apply, because those prohibitions apply to the meat of a korban which was fully valid, but this korban became invalidated before the procedure was completed. And therefore, v'ein chayav lo mishum pigel, one would not be liable for eating pigel. Pigel is a korban whose part of the procedure bringing the korban was performed with the intention of burning or eating part of the korban beyond the time limit. if that intention is had whilst going through the procedure bringing the carbon becomes invalidated. And if somebody eats the meat of that carbon, he will be liable to kares, a very severe punishment where somebody is, so to speak, cut off from Hashem. Biazme, this only applies to a carbon whose entire procedure was performed in a valid way, without any part of it leaving the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And Noisar, the prohibition of eating the meat of a carbon past its time limit, the Tomei, or an impure person eating the meat of a carbon, all of these prohibitions wouldn't really apply over here, since the carbon became invalidated in the middle. However, Rabbi Akiva says that Eimar and Baim, Mila would no longer apply, and Aval Chayovin Olov Mishum Pigel Noisar Tomei, one would be liable to the regular prohibitions of Pigel Noisar and Tomei, an impure person eating the carbon. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, the throwing of the blood onto the Mizbeach is considered to have been done in a valid form. And the Gemara explains that Rabbi Akiva is talking about a very specific case, where not all of the meat left the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Part of the meat of the carbon remained in the courtyard. And therefore, when the blood is thrown onto the Mizbeach, it does help to permit that amount of meat to be eaten by the Kohanim. So since the throwing of the blood onto the Mizbeach is valid for part of the carbon, not all of the carbon became invalidated by leaving. So that procedure is considered to have been done and is valid. And because of that, Me'ila would no longer apply, and those other prohibitions would apply, because it's considered to be essentially a valid carbon, even though part of the meat cannot be eaten because it was left the courtyard. And Rabbi Akiva tries to prove his point now. Omer Rabbi Akiva said, V'harei ha-mafish chatos v'ovda. The law is that if somebody separates a carbon chatos, he designates an animal to be his carbon chatos, and that animal gets lost. V'hevish acharis tachteha. So he designated a replacement animal instead of it. V'achar kach nitzar shayna. And then the first original animal that he had designated was found. Meanwhile, there was a bit of confusion, and both animals were slaughtered for the sake of bringing them as a carbon chatos. And both of these animals have been slaughtered and they're standing in front of us. And the law is that is it not true that just like the throwing of the blood which was received from one of these animals, of course that would exempt the meat of that animal from Me'ila? Once the blood is thrown, the meat becomes permitted for Kayanim, and Me'ila would no longer apply. And the law is that Kahu Poitas Pesar Chaverta, in that case, it would also end the Me'ila for the meat of the other animal as well. Since both animals are there for the sake of his one carbon chatos, as soon as the blood of one of those animals is thrown onto the Mizbeach, that would help to permit the meat of both animals to be eaten by the Kohanim. Now, it should be noted, it's definitely forbidden to eat the meat of the other animal. And that other animal is considered to be like an invalidated carbon, because it didn't end up being the carbon chatos that's blood was thrown onto the Mizbeach. So that other animal is indeed considered to be an invalidated carbon. And yet we find that Me'ila would not apply to the meat of that animal as a result of the blood of the other animal which was thrown onto the Mizbeach. Now if that's the law, then if we found a case where the throwing of the blood of one animal can exempt the other, a different animal's meat from Me'ila, so all the more so, din hu sheyiftar es basara. All the more so in our case, the throwing of the blood of this carbon, which did help for the part of the meat which remained inside of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, all the more so it should also end the Me'ila for the part of the carbon which left the Beis HaMikdash and became invalidated. Mishnah Gimel, as you mentioned, when it comes to Kodshim Kalim, which are the lower level of holiness of Karbonis, this refers to Karbonis where the owner who is bringing the carbon is able to eat part of the meat, which means that the carbon was never actually fully given over to Hashem, and therefore Me'ila would not apply. The only Me'ila which would apply to these Karbonis is once the blood is thrown onto the Mizbeach, and now, at that point, the Emurim, which is the part of the carbon which is burnt on the Mizbeach, and it can only be burnt on the Mizbeach once the blood is thrown onto the Mizbeach. So from the point that the Emurim can be burnt on the Mizbeach, now Me'ila would apply to the Emurim, because those are now considered to be a separate part of the carbon in and of themselves, and those are fully given over to Hashem, those are burnt. So the Mishnah says, Emurim Kodshim Kalim, the emurim of these types of karbanos sheyotzu lefnei zrikas damim. They left the Beis HaMikdash courtyard, they were taken out before the blood was thrown onto the Mizbeach. Which means they became invalidated. They're not going to be able to be burnt on the Mizbeach. So Rabbi Eliezer says, just like in the previous Mishnah, Ein Ma'alin Bohen. In this case, it's the opposite law, but the same logic. Me'ila would not apply to them. Meaning, the throwing of the blood is considered to be totally invalid. And therefore, Me'ila would not begin. And likewise, because the throwing of the blood is invalid, the prohibitions which apply specially to eating karbanos wouldn't apply, because that only applies to eating valid karbanos. So the Ein Chayav Aleihem Mishum Pigel Noser V'Tomei, those prohibitions of Pigel Noser and Tomei, which we defined in the previous Mishnah, would not apply over here. However, Rabbi Akiva says, Me'alin Bohen, Me'ila would apply, meaning Me'ila begins because the throwing of the blood on the Mizbeach is valid. And if you think about it, the throwing of the blood is certainly valid partly. That's what allows the meat of the korban to be eaten by the owner. And the meat didn't become invalidated. The meat didn't leave the Beis HaMikdash. So Rabbi Akiva has a similar logic to that which he said in the previous Mishnah. Since the throwing of the blood does help for part of the korban, so it's considered to be a valid process. And therefore, overall, the korban is considered to be valid. So Me'ila would apply to the Emurim, and V'chayav Aleihem Mishum Pigel Noser V'Tomei. He would be liable if he violates the prohibitions of Pigel Noser V'Tomei, which are the various prohibitions which apply to eating karbanos, and specifically karbanos which are valid.